Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that I think is essential for technical professionals, and that is branding. So what does branding have to do with you and your work and your role as an engineer or a leader? What does branding have to do with you as an individual?
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
Today, I have Ari Weinstein here to talk about this topic. Ari, will you please introduce yourself to our audience?
I'm Ari Weinstein. I'm a coach who specializes in branding, both personal and business branding.
You've worked with technical professionals. You've worked with lots of different people. What are some of the obstacles that get in their way of being able to talk about themselves or to talk about their personal brand?
I can think of three things really quickly. And the first one is that there's discomfort, right? Kind of like I sound now, a little uncomfortable because I'm nervous. I'm on a podcast. So nerves get in the way, you know, the emotions. And it's like, oh, I have to talk about myself and people feel put on the spot. Another obstacle, and you see this in a lot of technical professionals, we tend to talk in technical terms, right? It's so much fun to talk shop and mention something technical, but when you're talking about yourself or communicating with people who don't necessarily know as much as you do, that can get in the way. And the third thing is that as technical professionals, we often focus on the output. We think, well, we're judged by our output. I don't have to talk about myself as long as the blueprints are good.
So there may be people that are listening that have the question, how does learning how to talk about myself or my personal brand, how is that going to help me in my career?
The short answer here is that your career is not just about your technical output. You might be great sitting in a room by yourself and producing something, but can you interact with people? Can you, for example, present the blueprints, the plans to a client? So it turns out that there's more than just your engineering skills that are needed to succeed in your career. And communication skills are important.
Any aspect of personal branding that you think are important to our listeners?
A couple of things that a lot of my clients and a lot of the people I've worked with struggle with. One is they think that personal branding is something that is only applicable to, I don't know, influencers or famous people. But the fact is, the moment you start interacting with someone, you're sharing your brand, because your brand, according to my definition, is the impression you make on others.
Yeah, I like the whole take on cultivating a personal brand. This whole episode is about the importance of cultivating your personal brand, how you can leverage your communication skills, how you can leverage this cultivation of the personal brand to help move you forward.
And, you know, a good way to cultivate your brand is to think about, and even better, write down the things that really matter to you in your career. If I'm speaking to you, James, I might wonder, what got you into your profession? What is it about it that fascinated you? What draws you to it? And through that contemplation, you can discover what it is that you really love to do, and therefore you would enjoy talking about with other people. Even if you're shy, you can develop a sense of who you are and become excited about it and be willing to share it.
I know it was a hypothetical question, but for me, starting out as a civil engineer, I like the whole concept of working on projects for the benefit of society. And when I think of civil engineering, I think of roadways. I think of being able to bridge the gap, provide pathways of opportunity, because economic development, all kinds of things come when you're able to put transportation in place. And so that part of civil engineering was always of interest to me. And I think about what I do now as an executive coach, and it's helping people, as was helping close the gap as well, to provide a vehicle to get people from where they are to where they want to go.
See, that's awesome. And as you no doubt have dealt with in your career, connecting people via transportation, you're not just connecting people, right? You connect people with goods, with services, with, you know, really important things that they can't get to locally, for example, education. Transportation is critically important. And I love that larger view that you just shared about the benefits of becoming an engineer and contributing in this bigger way to society. You and I could go on and on probably talking about transportation. So I love that.
Yeah, it's like reframing what you're doing and what interests you in a way where you can make the connection and talk to other people. So there may be other people that are listening to this that are engineers, and you think, hey, all I'm doing is traffic safety, or all I'm doing is X. But when you think about the bigger picture and how the piece of what you're doing fits into the overall puzzle to what you're providing to society, to what you're providing to your clients, it gives you the ability to start having that conversation and connection, because you are always managing the brand of you. You represent your company when you're in meetings and when you're in places, but you're also representing you. And that representation is what continues to perpetuate your leadership when you are not in the room.
Yes. I love that you said that, because if we think about the fact that we are each unique, and that's to me indisputable, that we're each unique because our combination of life experiences, biology, and so on make us each unique. You realize that two civil engineers who specialize in transportation are not the same. Even if they've had the same education, perhaps they even went to the same school. Doesn't matter, because they have different life experiences and therefore they've developed different personal preferences. So that's how thinking about what you care about most in your career turns out that's part of what makes you unique. And then when you combine your technical skills and your engineering skills with other skills that you gained in life, you're doing things in a slightly different way than the person in the next office who has the same job title as you.
When it comes to cultivating a personal brand, what are your top five things that a person needs to do?
It's funny that you mentioned five, because I actually have a five-step brand development process. So the first thing you need to do is discover the brand you already have. Ask yourself, what is it that I most want people to know about me? And if it's just the fact that you're an engineer, great, but go a little deeper. Talk about what drew you to engineering. The next thing to do is to ask other people, what is it about me that's unique? What is it that I do differently from other people in our profession or other people in the office? And so you can discover some unique things about you. Step two is to document that, especially the adjectives and adverbs people use to describe you and that you might use to describe yourself. Document them. Step three is to distill that. People have a lot to say, and we often have a lot to say about ourselves, but we need to distill it down. For example, think about the things that you value, which can be the drivers that got you into your profession. After you've distilled this down, now you can develop a brand message. So that's step four, is to develop a message. I'm an engineer who blank. What's in that blank? And the final step is to share that. So you've developed a personal brand, but it's not going to help you unless you share it. So create a LinkedIn page or start a website, write a blog. There's so many ways in which we can share our brands. And of course, network and interact with people and maybe show up on podcasts.
Leadership comes with high expectations, too many responsibilities, too little time, and the constant pressure to keep up. If you're feeling stretched thin, you're not alone. At Engineer Your Success, we help leaders take back control so that they can lead with confidence, delegate effectively, and stop running on empty. You don't have to choose between success and sanity. Let's build a leadership plan that works for you. Visit EngineerYourSuccessNow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. What about the person who says, Ari, I hear you, and I've done that, I've written what I'm doing in my profession and why I like it, but I don't want to share because maybe I don't think I'm good enough, or that I'm not a good enough engineer, I'm not technically strong enough. Maybe they're dealing with imposter syndrome. What advice would you have for that person?
One key piece of advice I offer people experiencing that, and I know it's common in technical professions because we have so many amazing people and amazing engineering feats to look up to and say, wow, look at that bridge, look at that building, look at that transportation system. I could never do that. But the first thing I point out to anyone is, look, you're not an imposter, you're a beginner. If you really love engineering, just reframe the concept of imposter as beginner. It's okay to be a beginner. And if you're in a room with other engineers, don't be intimidated by them. Celebrate the fact that you're in the room with them. You earned the right to be there. And when you celebrate that, you can begin to overcome imposter syndrome.
I think that's really good advice. And there's also the going through the reps or training yourself so that you can get comfortable with who you are. How can you show up as your authentic self? In understanding that your authentic self is enough. One of the things that you mentioned is that we each have a unique combination of skills, abilities, and talents and education, and how we use that and play that out in life is unique to us. I can remember being at an awards ceremony at Virginia Tech. So I was being recognized as an outstanding alumni award. Folks are getting awards. They're running multi-million dollar companies. And I'm looking around saying, don't necessarily belong here. I got the award because I had been managing a $70 million applied research program as part of the Strategic Highway Research Program when I was working for the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine. And so I'm there for the award. But when they got to talk about the accolades and all of the stuff, the person that was like, oh, you know, now we have, you know, Dr. James Bryant, he's going to get this award. They talked to a lot of different people. And everybody said something to the effect of, he provides value, he's interested in who you are, and he loves his family. So we're at a thing about technical folks. You got these presidents of companies and all of this, and they're talking about me and my family. But that is part of my identity in who I am. And what I say is that I didn't necessarily feel like I was, you know, on the same level, but there were people afterwards that were like, I'm glad that you're investing in your family. Thanks for being an example of what is possible.
See, that's wonderful. And that's so great to hear. It sounds to me like you value family. That yes. Family is one of your highest values.
Yep.
Right? One of your core values. The things that we don't negotiate over, right? Right. So I took away two things from what you just said. One is being in that room with all these amazing people. And to me, again, so that you don't get trapped in imposter syndrome, I would think, gee, I'm part of this. It doesn't matter how big or small a part you are. Any engineer can tell you, it doesn't matter how small a nut or bolt is. It's where it's located in the mechanism and its critical role in holding certain things together. So even a small item can fail and cause failure throughout an entire system. So we are all part of systems, right? We're part of the economy. We're part of an industry. So I think there's a good reason to take pride in that. That we're a part of something bigger, as opposed to thinking, oh, you know, these guys are richer, or these guys are more successful, or these guys have done bigger projects. You're part of it. But the other thing you said about family is so critically important, because I'll bet there was more than one person in that room who felt that they wish they could be spending more time with their family because they get so caught up in work. And that's, I think, another thing. We love what we do, so we get caught up in it, and sometimes we sacrifice because the job demands it, right? If something needs to be fixed, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, it needs to be fixed.
It is. And I think that the key there is, are you knowingly, intentionally sacrificing? Or are you fooling yourself saying that you're doing all of this stuff for your family, you're doing all of this stuff for these other people, but you're not intentional about what you're doing? So you're not making time for family. Therefore, work takes all of your time and it's unintentional. It's like you're not even thinking about it. When you're intentional with your time, then there's a recognition that as an engineer, as any professional, it's going to require extra work from time to time. There are going to be days where you're going to have to work long hours. There are going to be weeks, maybe even months, where you're going to have to do that. The key is being intentional about that with your family, with your life, saying, okay, for the next 3 months, I know this is going to be a big project. I'm going to be working these extra hours. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set aside this time to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to try to work in some self-care and some rest, but I know for this time period, this is how it's going to be. Communicate that with your spouse so that they will know. Invite them into the process to help you achieve that goal. I liken work-life balance to riding a bike. You're dynamically balanced. You're always moving forward. You're pedaling, you're moving, and sometimes you have to lean a little bit more into work. Other times you have to lean a little bit more into life and your personal life, but you're constantly moving forward.
I love that analogy of the bicycle. And the way I connect that to personal branding is, remember that every now and again, you may have to get off the bike and make sure that you're okay and that the bike is okay. Stopping to notice how you're feeling and what exactly the impression is that you're making on other people. Yeah. So it's important to pause and look at ourselves and examine our brands, examine the impression we're making on others. It's actually a healthy thing to do.
Okay. So what would you say is the top mistakes that people make with personal branding?
A top mistake is that people communicate about the tasks that they perform or the work that they do. What other people really like to know is how what you do impacts them. So what are the results that you delivered? So that to me is a top mistake, is you talk about tasks as opposed to results. And the task is interesting to you, but it might not be interesting to your audience. But think about what would your audience most want to know about, and what's a result that you're proud of that you helped deliver? They might be very interested in that, and much more so than in the minutia of the task that you perform.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And whether you're talking about the task or the result, talk about it from the perspective of the problem that you solved and for whom, right? So sometimes what we'll do is we'll talk about the result we deliver, but we talk about that result from our perspective. You have to talk about the result from the perspective of the person, the entity, the company, the project, the problem that you solved from that perspective. And that becomes a very useful tool and skill.
You know, I love that you said that. And I have a tip to add here, which is when you're practicing communicating about the result, ask yourself the question, pretend that the person listening to you talking is asking the question, so what? In other words, okay, you know, I strengthened the truss on that bridge. So what? Well, now it's safer. Now it can go maintenance free for another 20 years. Now it will save the city that owns that bridge. It will save them $10 million over the next 2 years. So ask yourself, so what? In other words, what's the downstream effect? Not just the result you delivered, but what's the downstream effect to others?
That's great. And depending on your personality, try not to judge your inner voice.
Exactly. In other words, recognize that the so what is not a judgmental question. Yeah. It's really genuine curiosity. So if we're curious about others, other people are curious about us.
You know how to solve tough technical problems, but leading people, that's a different challenge. Stepping into leadership means more than just knowing your stuff. It's about inspiring, communicating, and navigating challenges with confidence. At Engineer Your Success, we help technical pros like you grow into leaders who just don't manage the work, but lead the people who do. If you're ready to lead with clarity and impact, visit EngineerYourSuccessNow.com today, because thriving isn't just for others, it's for you. Are there any other tips or tools that you, or topics that you want to go into for the podcast listening audience?
One topic that comes up, and this is where personal branding comes in, is say, okay, who am I now and who do I want to be in the future? What do you want your career to look like? What is it that you want to be known for in the future? That might change what it is you're pursuing as part of continuing education. And it's okay to do that.
Yeah, so there are two aspects to that. One, if a person's listening to this, has gone through the process to be a professional engineer, there are certain statutory requirements that you're going to have to be able to do your continuing education. You can continue to do that, but to roll in Ari's point is, if you want to start learning more about a certain aspect within your engineering discipline, or you want to start layering in how is AI going to impact this, then if that's what you want to be known for, or if that's how you want to start shaping your personal brand, then you go start looking for courses that will meet your continuing education requirements, but will also further your pursuit, the pursuit of the goals of who you want to be.
That's a very nice way to put it. And that's, to me, that's the best strategy, not to just go with the requirements. Of course, the requirements are important, but to recognize that you have the capacity to take on more, to learn more, or to pick and choose certain programs as opposed to others that still meet requirements, but also get you some of that material that you're becoming interested in.
Yeah, and it just, you know, brings me to the whole ideal of intentional personal development. So there may be things that you want to grow in as a better communicator, a better writer, a better storyteller, better whatever it is. This whole concept of trying versus training. Are you trying to be a better communicator, or are you training to be a better communicator? Are you trying to be a better personal brander, or are you training to do that? Training is those intentional activities that you can take to help you reach your goal. So in this case, not only do you have your professional development activities that you're kind of looking at, oh, I want to focus on this, I want to focus on that, but from a personal development activity, what do I want to grow in? Do you need to grow in your ability to delegate, your ability to be an active listener, find courses, find programs that can help support all of the areas that you want to develop and grow.
Yes. And James, I appreciate that you've been repeating the word intentional. It's actually part of the definition that I give of personal branding. I often say that personal branding has two definitions. As a noun, your personal brand is the impression you make on other people. That's a noun. But it's also a verb. Personal branding is the practice of being intentional with that impression, being intentional with your personal brand.
If there is one thing that you want the audience to do as a result of listening to this episode, what would it be?
If they would like to learn more about personal branding, I wrote an ebook called Personal Branding at Work, and you can find it at personalbrandingatwork.com. So that book, and it's a short book, gives you a step-by-step guide to the steps we described earlier, which is how to discover, develop, and share your personal brand. So if anyone's interested, that's something you can do. If instead you just want to connect and ask me a question about something I said on this podcast, feel free to do so. I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay, and we'll include a link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. So Ari, I'm going to flip. Do you have any questions for me? So now you are the interviewer and I am the interviewee.
The question I'm really curious about is, what is it that you feel the people you serve are struggling with or would most want to know about this topic or about other topics that career coaches and career professionals might be able to help them?
I would say the biggest topic is understanding that you are valuable just as you are, that you're worth it. You're worth the effort. There are a lot of technical professionals who may struggle with delegation or communication. And sometimes that is seated in self-worth. You have people that they are high achievers, but they're achieving so high because they're trying to prove something to themselves or prove that they're worthy or prove that they belong. And what I work with clients is I say, first, inherently, that you belong. You belong here. You're worth the effort. You are worthy. Just be authentically you and accept who you are.
Yes. See, that's wonderful. To the extent that you and I and others can help one another with our self-confidence and with feeling worthy, that's what I love to do. So I'm glad you addressed it the way you did. That's always worth reminding people. You're totally worth it. Yes. Hey, you've gotten this far and it's worth something to someone, probably to a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth something to you. You are worth the effort that it's going to take to reach your goal. You're worth the effort that it may take for you to struggle through whatever you need to struggle through to make it on the other side. Because on the other side of struggle, there's strength. We think that struggle is a bad thing. Struggle's not necessarily a bad thing. Keep pushing through. You're worth the effort. What's on the other side is going to be much better than what's on this side of struggle.
Yeah, I truly believe that. I'm reading the book Anti-Fragile at the moment, the concept of we actually are strengthened through adversity. Yeah. So that's worth reminding that as humans, we're complex enough that adversity can actually help us. Lifting really heavy weights that we strain to lift actually will strengthen our muscles over time.
Yep.
And so that's very worth reminding people.
All right. Any other questions for me?
No, I love ending on this note, right? Reminding people that they are worth it and it's worth the effort. And there is something amazing to be found at the end of the struggle, at the end of all the work that your listeners put into themselves to study and to achieve.
And here's the thing. When you accomplish it, when you're on the other side of that struggle, celebrate the wins, really celebrate what you've been able to accomplish and know that there's going to be another struggle coming. There's going to be another thing that you want to achieve, and you'll get into this process and you start loving the journey in the process of becoming. You keep moving forward. You keep moving forward. So listen, Ari, I want to thank you for being a guest on the podcast, and I'm going to end this episode like I end every episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there is a select group of people that follow through that do it, and they're living the life of their dreams and they're helping others do the same. Ari, I want to thank you for being part of that select few.
My pleasure.